thought you were gonna be like, I kicked puppies. You're no. Like, oh my gosh.
Talk about something that makes you feel better.
Yeah, let me tell you. Just gonna kick. Hey, welcome to ARC Youth Conversations, also known as AYC, where we talk to students about God, life, and everything in between. Now, let's get started. Hey, welcome to ARC Youth Conversations. We're here with Lara and Kaylee. This is Nate and Mike. We're talking about various issues, things of God, things about your life, random to spiritual, and everything in between.
I love it.
All right, so let's get started.
What questions do you guys have? I'm just kidding. No. We have questions prepared.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so just to kind of start things off, where do you go to school?
I'm a senior at Willis High School.
Okay.
I'm also a senior at Willis High School.
Okay, so who are you first?
Oh, I'm Lara.
Hi, Lara. Who's the other person?
Kaylee.
There it is. They're getting used to mics. Okay, so Willis, senior, you're almost done.
Yes.
How are we feeling? Four more years?
No, I can't. I'm doing online college because I just can't.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's just the whole in-person education thing.
Well,
just...
not only that, but I'm so tired of being with like immature people.
Wow, we're starting off hot. Kaylee, you want to jump in on that?
I want to go to college.
You want to go to college?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like in-person classes.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a thought process of what kind of college or?
I would love to go to like a Christian college.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure yet.
Yeah. It's something to pray about. I went to one. I feel like if the Lord bring you there, go. If not, don't. Just to simplify.
Well said.
To simplify everything about my degree without going a long spiel. Okay, so senior year, you're looking back a little bit now. I'm almost done here. What advice would you give to your sophomore self? Not your freshman self. Because that's all learning. Yeah. Freshman's all learning. Sophomore year is kind of the first year you feel like, oh, I kind of got a handle on this, but then life kind of hits you and you're like, okay, maybe not. What would you kind of like, your second year, maybe you got past the freshman bumps, like what would you give your advice to your second year self?
Well, I'm sure she can speak different on this, but I actually moved to Willis my sophomore year. I was
brand new,
didn't know a single soul.
Where'd you move from?
Huntsville. I'd always lived in this area. But,
Las Vegas.
Yeah, but my dad was a principal there, and so I moved, and then... I didn't know anyone, and I was kind of like, I had a few people from church and stuff, and they're like, oh, did you meet new people and all this stuff? And I never understood that. I was like, you don't have to have a lot of people. So I felt like I was stuck in the mindset of having to have big groups of people to be friends with and stuff. And so I think I would tell myself my sophomore year, as in, like, you don't need people. Like, you can have yourself and, like, be happy. So that's what I would say.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. Because, like, I feel like I tried so hard, like, especially my sophomore year, because I felt like I needed to be, like, that kind of big person, and I really didn't need to be.
Mm.
How much time do you guys think you spent thinking about how other people perceive you? Like, how other people in high school saw you? Do you feel like you spent a lot of time, like, not a lot of time at all?
I think since I moved, not a lot, just because I was like, these people don't even know me, but... I don't know, do you?
I feel like I thought about it like all the time.
Early on.
Yeah.
And then as you got older, you felt like you thought about it less.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, I related. I think I thought about it a lot.
Yeah, totally.
And then I positioned myself to get it. Mm-hmm. Got it and went, it's not enough. By the end, I remember graduating being like, wow, it's just not enough.
It's so much effort.
So much effort.
Such like a little reward.
So you know? Much effort. And it's fun for like really short, extremely temporary, non-fulfilling season. Mm-hmm. Where you're like, we're having fun. You have things to do now. That's like the difference. Yeah. Now, instead of being home alone, now I have things to do.
Yeah.
Now someone can ask me what I'm doing on the weekend and I don't have to sheepishly say whatever. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, I'm doing this. But it was interesting. It's like my depression didn't go away. I'm like, I thought that would make me
feel
ultimately
better.
Yeah. But depression is healing, not, you know, busyness. Like, not oh, when I finally have things to do, I'm going to be happy now. And it's like, no, you'll feel more satisfied. But if there's no healing that takes place, you're just masking over. You're masking over pain. So, just a thought, food for thought.
Drew,
food for thought.
How did you guys, and I mean, this may be a pretty deep question, how do you feel like y'all coped with pain going through high school? Like, how did you cope with, like, pain? I mean, we all deal with pain differently, but, you know, insecurity, guilt, whatever it was.
I want to go first.
Who wants to go deep? Who's going there?
I, like, tried to find something that would, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, look something to, like, look forward to.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So, like, almost, like, ignore it, kind of. Like, try to get something to get excited about. And then just kind of ignore it. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's totally real.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to be like, I kicked puppies. Like, oh my gosh.
Talk about something that makes you feel better.
Yeah, let me tell you. Just a good kick.
I think for me, it's really hard because I'm still working on that.
Yeah, that's honest.
We all are.
Because I feel like that's always running through my mind. Oh, what is this person thinking about me? And I know that's, like, normal instinct. But I say, like, at the end of the day, we're not perfect at all.
Yeah.
And so even though you may look perfect on the outside, you're not on the inside. So I would just use that as my outlook.
Yeah. Well, because that's a big, I mean, I think that's a struggle you it's in some ways deal with your whole life, but especially whenever you're younger, is not really knowing what to do with, like, pain and rejection and insecurity and all. Like, I just remember having times.
Just bottle it.
Yeah. I remember having times whenever I was in high school, and it's like, I don't really know. I feel this way, and I know I'm not supposed to, but, like, I don't really know what to do about it.
You don't know what to do with about it. Yeah. We actually, when we did our Q&A, I read all of them, and a lot of them were like, I don't know what to do with this, like, emotion, or I know I shouldn't handle it this way, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't. I really don't know. What was interesting, I want y'all's thoughts on this. It sounds like we're getting into an E-News story, but we're not. When I was reading, I was a little surprised at people who were kind of chill with cheating and relationships. Like, they were looking to, maybe because I've been cheated on, maybe that was my season to, like, justify that aspect. And I think we all have thoughts on this, whether you've been in a relationship that's serious or no relationship at all. Everyone has thoughts and processes on that. What do you think about it when someone's like, well, like, you know, I got cheated on. Do I stay with them? Like, do I stay faithful? Do I stay around? What do you guys think about that?
Well,
because that came up actually a lot in high school.
Yeah. I think this is gonna be, like, funny.
No, go ahead.
I feel like I've always, like, believed in, like, if they do it once, they're gonna do it another time. Just because I feel like that's just how it works. You know, a lot of people, like, go through divorce and then they go through another divorce, and it's just like they don't realize that they're the problem. And I know that sounds harsh, but, like, it's the truth. So, like, that's how I feel. But do you have anything you want to
do? Yeah, I feel like the exact same way, because I know a lot of my friends have gone through those kind of things.
Yeah.
And, like, they'll get back together and then, like, the same thing happens again, and then it just, like, is a full cycle.
Yeah.
And yeah.
When on that note, how do you date as a Christian? Like, in your mind, what does that situation, like, look like to you?
Well, because you said, like, they're high school students. I feel like in high school, you're like, oh, I'm going to marry this person. And you're like, no, you're not. Like, that's, like, so, like, I feel like they really think that. And I'm like, you're not going to marry them. Like, you're going to go off to college. You're going to live your own life. And so I think a Christian relationship to me just looks like honesty. Like, just being honest and, like, putting God first. Because I think a lot of the time they're just like, oh, this is my husband. We'll read our Bible later. And it's like, no, that's, like, God put you in the situation of even meeting him. So, like, take that in consideration to, like, trusting in him and, like, putting your faith into him. So,
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I feel like your husband or wife is, like, your best friend for life.
Yeah.
And so they're, like, something that you can do everything with. So, like, you read the Bible together or you go to church together. So like you have to like be even with each other.
Do you know you brought something up that I have heard, and I just thought of this, I've heard this a lot in our high schoolers, that when they talk about what is modeled as a Christian relationship, I didn't think about it in high school. I actually was in, like, it wasn't brought up as the model, but it's interesting. Like, it seems to be in the desire of the heart of our youth group that if I'm going to have a healthy marriage, or excuse me, a healthy relationship, I'm going to read the Bible with them. That wasn't actually like brought up that I would do that together with someone, but that I would individually have my own walk. And I didn't actually hear that till I was in college.
Yeah.
But I've noticed, like, because we don't actually talk about that in relationships.
Yeah.
But from our students that are really plugged in, I've noticed, like, it is their heart's desire to, like, want to read the Bible with someone that they really like and are attracted to. Yeah. Like, why do you think so? It sounds obvious, but it's not. Because you got to think, like, I never thought of that when I was a teenager and I grew up in church.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's such, like, a deep question. Do you want to go for it? I don't have anything to say right now.
I don't know. I think it, like, helps you become closer to each other. And, yeah.
That's a good answer.
I think it's an attempt to, because it's what you said. And it's like something that's said about relationships in church all the time, putting God first. So putting God first in your relationship. I think it's an attempt at that.
It's the most tangible.
You know, it's the most tangible, like, oh, it's something, it's like a task I can do, and I know that I did it or didn't do it. Because I think that's, and that was going to be one of my questions, was what do you guys, like, what does that look like, putting God first in a relationship?
Yes, I thought
that's
that, because
that's like a...
very common saying.
Very common saying, and I agree with it. But it's sometimes kind of a easy thing to say, hard thing to make tangible. You know, hard thing to be like, okay, this is what it is, this is what it isn't.
Right, right.
I think, I think it kind of like whenever you read the Bible with someone, it can, like you said, draw them to closer. Because if you're praying about something, like if you're dealing with anxiety or depression, you know, you can tell that other significant other of like, oh, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what I prayed for. So it just connects you, like, more. And, like, then maybe they could be like, well, this is a verse I found for that. So, like, that's what I think it should do. So. It could do. Sorry.
I don't know. Like.
It's a hard thing. Like, it's a hard thing to answer. And, I mean, I don't know. Maybe the answer is it looks slightly different for everyone relationship
else.
You know,
yeah,
because I'm with you, like, I don't know if Erica and I, and we dated in high school, I don't know if we ever really like read scriptures together, but we would pray together, like, every night we would talk on the phone, especially because we dated long distance for a year, and so we would talk on the phone every night and pray.
I did
so
that.
We would do that, but you know, I'm wondering if it's less of a task thing and more of just a mindset. You know, I'm like, kind of what you were talking about, I'm going to make sure that me and God are good,
right?
And that, but then I'm bringing that to the relationship. Whenever I'm bringing my own heart with the Lord to the relationship, it helps that.
I think there's also a thought process that I think for some people it seems, and I really feel like it might sound off base, it sounds romantic and actually freeing to feel like you can read the Bible with somebody you care about.
Yeah.
You're like, this is a very intimate area that I don't think I can share with a lot of people. And so in a relationship, I'd love to be able to share this with someone. So I can understand that side. But I'm like you, I knew I was going to pray with, like, I would pray with them. Like, prayer was something that's very easily shared. And it's just a thought process of like, okay, I didn't think about reading the Bible and stuff. Okay, so I have a different question for y'all. All right? So I need you to answer honestly. Very honestly.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh boy.
It is.
So you're coming to an end of your period in youth group. And youth group can be great and terrible all at the same time. Like, it has its ups and downs.
Oh, yeah.
It's presented as ups. But you and I both know, like,
the ups make it in the videos.
Yeah, the ups make it in the videos. But you and I both know, like, there are downs. There are moments where it's just like, oh, my friend's not here. I feel maybe a little bit lonely tonight. Like, yeah. Or maybe it's a set list of worship. If I was being like real honest, that you're like, ah, it was just.
It's not. Never the message because yeah. The messages are always
the
on
messages
point.
Are always straight
they're
fire,
always on point, and always connect really, with everybody all the time.
Really self serving. You're like they're absolute fire
so,
every time.
No, it's not that. totally. Kidding.
When Clayt Small was here. Like he it's been there. A 9 month drought. So
I think we're far enough along.
Yeah, I think we're good enough along, yeah. Right? Yeah. So the okay. So you've been through youth group. You've actually gone through youth pastor transition too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about your journey from start to now, and then I want to talk about what was that transition of leadership like for you. And you can be honest. Trust me, we've. Junior high summer camp, I let it go and people brought the heat and it was good. I learned like it was good stuff. So let us know like what from the start of being an ARC youth to now, what's your journey been like? And then what was it like a transition leadership for you?
For me, when I first came to ARC youth, I hadn't gone to church in a hot minute. And we had never gone to a church around here. And I decided to go because it was right when ARC youth had opened up from COVID.
Yeah.
And I went and I walked in and I had never seen an atmosphere of like teenagers like that. Like all I knew of teenagers was like drugs, alcohol, all of these things. And then they're like jumping for Jesus. And I'm like, this is weird. Like I've never seen this before. And it was really like opening. Like I just felt like I had made it home. And so that was the first time I had ever come to ARC youth. And then it just lead from there. I invited Christina. I'm sure y'all know both know.
Yeah.
And
the
she,
cousin of my best friend in the world when
what?
I was in fourth grade.
That's crazy.
Yes, Sam Wise. I was at his house all the time in fourth grade. That's her cousin.
Sam Wise. Gamgee?
I know, right? Yeah, the Wise family. Right. Wise family are good people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I invited her and she was like, what is this? She's like, this is incredible. And I'm just like, I know. I'm like, I'm glad I'm not the only one. And so then we just started volunteering. We became student leaders and it was just so much fun. And we came to vibe nights and all that stuff. And of course there was times where she wasn't there and I'm like, okay, well now who do I hang out with? And then YouthCon came and I met Ainsley. I met Ashley. I met all of these incredible people and I met Kaylee through it. And so I think it's been a challenge, but to look back on it now, to think that I've been here for 4 years is just crazy. Like the not styles, but like the forms that I've gone through with like my faith and stuff is just, there's been mountains, there's been like lows. And I think that that's just like really cool because it's not our cute that has done that. It's God.
That's good.
So
that's good. Learn.
I think that that's just what that I
mean. Good. That's a great answer.
Yeah, thank you.
I love that. Yeah.
Okay. So I started coming here in sixth grade.
Come on.
And so, like, youth is all that I've known.
Yeah.
Because, like, I never really went to a church before coming to ARC because, like, the only church I ever really saw was my aunt's church and they're Pentecostal.
Yeah, baby. Come on.
And so that was, like, all that I really knew until, like, my anxiety got really bad. And so I started coming here. And then I remember the first day. And it was Chris who preached, and I was with my best friend at the time. And after it was done, I was like, Mom, this, like, makes me happy. I want to be here.
That's sweet.
And so I just, like, kept coming, and, like, I haven't really stopped ever since.
That's great.
So, yeah.
What do you – so, I mean, both of you have been coming pretty consistently now, obviously, for a few years. What would you say to those who have a hard time – fitting church into their schedule? I know like a lot of people have jobs and school stuff, you know, what do you have to say? And I'm sure it wasn't always easy for you to make it on a Wednesday night, but what would you say to those who have a hard time fitting it in and making it work?
That's like really deep. I would say like the feeling that you had, because that feeling could lead you to wanting to go more and just like setting a boundary of like, look, you know, if this is what my faith calls for, then this is what it is.
Yeah.
So, like, putting that to the test and, like, wanting to believe in God fully, I think is definitely what you should think about when you're, like, wanting to make that decision.
Yeah.
But I know that's hard for some people because some parents don't believe in God and that they go home.
True.
So it's like they don't know what to do. So I would just say that.
Yeah, I feel like whenever there's times that I feel like maybe I can't come to church, I pray about it. And I'm like, God, like, make me be able to find a way to go to church on Wednesday or whatever. And even if I can't go, I'll, like, really read my Bible or, like, just even go in the Bible app and, like, read that.
That's great.
Really great answers, guys.
I kind of want to add something on, like, what you said. I think some people can get the concept of if I don't go to church and then God's gonna hate me and that's not true at all. You know, God's still gonna love you either way, so you just need to, you know, let yourself know that, even if that calls opening up your Bible. So
good. All right, last part of the question. You've been through transition of leadership in youth group. What was that like for you, and what advice would you give someone? Because in youth group, it's tough. I was there when my youth pastor transitioned at the same time during Christmas, during December, into January, during my senior year. And we transitioned to the new guy in the second semester. Now, what was more new is no one knew him except for I did, because I was around staff stuff. When I got grounded, I got sent to go work with him. Nice. And he was a great guy, and he was John Huseman. And he ended up being the youth pastor for about like 8 years. But when he came in, I remember that transition, and like you could feel it in the room of like people are, he's new, kind of various things. This is not a question to focus on myself, please. I do not want it to be. But I do remember as a student the feelings of that transition. What was that like for you? And what advice would you give to help someone that, how they go through those kind of transitions?
That's really hard because
y'all been through three. It's Clayton, Courtney, and Chris. That's quite a bit.
Yeah. I think for me, that's really hard because I hate change. I hate change.
Yeah.
So whenever they told me that, I was like, what am I going to do? Not that I didn't think that you were going to be able to do it.
You don't have to do this.
But I just, you know, it's hard. You know, those people, I've known them for so long.
Right.
And it's just like, that's great that you got that opportunity. And it's funny because when I told my parents about it, they were like, I saw that happening. They're great. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it's, you want to be happy for them, but like, you don't know if you should because they're like leaving your church.
True, yeah.
But yeah, I think having people come in was a change, but it was worth it because it gave you an opportunity and it gave them an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So, and obviously, once again, you're great at it, and so are you. So,
as I hold a gun to her head,
like, this is what we actually. This is the whole point of
this whole point podcast.
It's all about Michael.
Yeah. Jeez.
But
So what if you had to give advice of like someone who had to walk through that, what would
I think transition here, I think if you're at any church for any length of time,
you're gonna go through transition.
Yeah.
Transition's huge. Sometimes, a lot of times, not in a great way, but transition's huge in the church.
Yeah, that's true.
I would say like, even though that it's someone different, that doesn't mean that you can still talk to them and like have conversations, and you can just be open to them because they don't even know you.
Right.
And well, if they do, then like be more open, I guess.
Right.
So just trust them, and that you don't have to be scared of them. So, because I know that's for me, that was a problem I struggled with. So.
Yeah. It's very real. Yeah. All right, Kaylee, how'd it feel and how did it feel? And then some advice.
I knew like it was definitely hard. Obviously, because I connected with both Clayton and Courtney so much since like sixth grade.
Yeah.
And so like it was hard like seeing them go, but then I knew that like there was something better for me.
Yeah.
And that there were like other opportunities. And so I just knew that like everything would get easier. And like, because the relationship that me and Nadia have is somewhat the same, or maybe even more than me and Courtney had. And so I feel like it's like that because I pushed myself to make it like that.
That last part you said is
that's the key right
is
there.
Is the key right there of like, is in transition, do you push in or...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or do you pull
and
out?
The tendency is always to pull out. It's always to pull back.
It's always to go.
That's the nature.
Not my style. I actually remember, and I know we're coming up on time here. I remember I was sitting in service, and with John, and it's my senior year. I'm the only senior. There's 90 of us in that youth group in chapel. And we're there.
Was Purple Auditorium.
And it was Purple Auditorium. Yeah. It was. R.I.P. Purple. And we're sitting in there, and John doesn't have a clock in the back. And he goes, hey, anyone got the time? Kid in the back. Dead silence. Just goes, time to go.
Oh, yikes.
And I remember being like, yo, this transition is rough. And yeah. I got scared for him. I got concerned. But I remember being like, people are pulling out.
Yeah.
Because they decided he's too different. It's, I don't know this guy, or, you know, I really poured into how it was, and change is difficult. But there is an element of like, okay, so is the Lord still going to move in here with you? Like, has he told you to leave?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it will be different and things will change in our lives. But if we follow the voice of the Lord, we stay where we're supposed to, or when we leave when we're supposed to, then I think that's when we have the most peace. It's when we make those decisions on ourselves based on how we feel and based on the fear of the future that I think we can make some painful missteps. So I know we're going close to our overtime. Guys, great answers. Thank you so much.
Straight fire.
Thank you so much for that. No, you guys did very good.
Yeah, y'all did awesome. Well,
you got comfortable with the mic.
I have a question. I don't know if this is
after. No, throw it. Throw it.
Something I struggle with, and I think like becoming a senior, it's definitely something I've struggled with more. I know this is gonna sound crazy, but I think about like death all the time. Not like suicidal, don't think that. But like death as in like
mortality.
Yeah, and like how is it gonna happen? You know, all of these things. Like, am I gonna be able to say goodbye to the people that I love and all of these things? And
right.
If I'm gonna go to heaven, and you know, I shouldn't question that.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something I struggle with. So
I think there's a line of, I used to think about death a lot as a kid. And my mortality.
Yeah.
Part of being ADD of not being able to go to sleep. I'm just laying in my bed, just like.
I mean, it's a big part of life.
It's a big part of life, yeah. And it's a guarantee.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the scary part.
It's actually 100% guarantee. And I think now you're in the position now as an adult of, you're now coming to some stronger long-term realities of, where is my faith?
Yeah.
If I believe in Jesus, I'm saved, which means when I think about death, it's not the end. And it means I'm with the Father. It means I'm in peace and in healing. There is a thought process where you go beyond philosophical and it goes too far. So you got to know the line of like, probably spent too long thinking about my mortality right now.
Yeah.
Take a break. God still loves me. It's not going to be a perfect finish, but it's going to be a strong one. And that's really what your concern should be of like, I'm not going to live a perfect life, but I'll have a strong one.
All right. Well, that's it. Some great stuff. We talked about a ton of stuff.
A lot of things.
I mean, talk about relationships, transition,
yeah.
Death. We hit it all.
Death. Right at the end. Just want to get that little sweet capper there.
That's like a little teaser.
Yeah.
So we hit a lot of stuff, but we've got these podcasts coming out every week. So stay tuned if you're listening. Maybe you're listening to this new. Maybe it's been a couple years, but we've got a lot of them out at that point. So
yeah. And you're going to see kind of, hey, this is what's happening in our youth group at the moment from their own hearts, off the cuff. We love it.
It's great. Great. All right. Until next time, AYC, Arc Youth Conversations.
That's bad.
Later.
That's bad.